20 seconds to play. CeCe to McDavid. Nudge back in. The Oilers are moving on to round two. Kopitar fires. Smith the save. He's going to shut Los Angeles out in game seven. Edmonton 2. LA nothing. That's your final.
As the great Ben Stelter once said, play La Bamba, baby. The Edmonton Oilers have won Game 7, an impressive 2-0 shutout performance against the Los Angeles Kings. Connor McDavid brilliant again with a goal and an assist. And Mike Smith with 29 saves for his second shutout of the series. The Oilers into the second round. They will play either Calgary or Dallas. That will be decided tomorrow night when the Flames host the Stars in their own Game 7. Thanks a lot for joining us. I'm live in Studio 99. Rob Brown up top on the media level here at Rogers Place for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Rob, a tight game on the scoreboard, I think, in terms of territory and a lot of the cliche words you use in the playoffs, urgency, desperation, execution, words like that. It wasn't so tight. I thought this was an excellent performance by the Oilers.
It was. The Oilers outplayed them. They outchanced them, outhit them. They did just about everything right. They didn't give up a whole lot of grade-A scoring chances. There was never a time in the game where the Oilers got hemmed in and it seemed like, uh-oh, trouble's going to happen. They stayed out of the penalty box. They were very disciplined. They played a perfect hockey game and were rewarded for it. And the big goal that Connor McDavid scored to extend the lead, up until then, as much as the Oilers dominated this game, it was still a stressful game because the LA Kings hung around because of their goaltending. But the goal that McDavid scored, a fantastic goal where he didn't quit on it despite being fouled on the way into the net, it just shows the resolve and the urgency and the just about any adjective you want to use tonight with Connor McDavid leading his team tonight. There was the will to win tonight. There was no way that they were going to lose this hockey game, and they came out and played it from start to finish.
At one point in the second period, the Oilers had 17 straight shots on goal. They had 24 shots in the second period total. That's a new team record in a playoff game. They got to 22 a couple of times in their franchise history, and they broke the ice with 6:45 left in the second period. It's CeCe from McDavid and Draisaitl, but all the players on the ice were involved in that play, and really, Rob, it started with a desperate, strong play at the blue line by Kyler Yamamoto.
It did, Reed. And when you're under pressure, and the LA Kings were for a lot of the game, but certainly for most of the second period, you've got to make smart plays. And the LA Kings had a chance to get the puck out, and they just a little lazy. They just tried flipping it. And Yamamoto, you know, it was like he was playing for the Blue Jays, climbed the wall to take away a home run. And he catches the puck, keeps it in, and keeps the play alive. Now you've got an LA King group that is dead tired, that were just being shelled with shot after shot. I mean, Jonathan Quick was going side to side, and eventually they broke down. And it was a little play at the time that turned into a huge play. They created that goal to give the Edmonton Oilers some breathing room going into the third period. But yeah, Yamamoto, you can go through the lineup, and you can find something that each player did tonight that helped contribute into this hockey game. That one for Kyler Yamamoto was a big play.
And, I mean, McDavid, a goal and an assist. He plays 27-23, so approaching half the game, six shots on goal. He's also credited with four hits. He had a big one on Durzi 26 seconds into the game. And, you know, hockey is such a complex team sport, Rob, but sometimes the star players have to lead the way and just say, we will not be denied. And I think tonight and Game 6, quite frankly, that's the type of performance we saw from McDavid.
It was, and I think he understood the importance, A, of the games, but certainly the importance of how the team was going to need to lean on him, because his partner in crime, his other superstar buddy, Leon Draisaitl, was not playing anywhere close to 100%. And so Connor McDavid knew that he was going to have to be extra special in these last two games because he didn't have someone that could relieve the pressure offensively. You could take the big face off. So you can go head-to-head against the best players on the opposite team and dominate, as Leon usually does. So Connor took it upon himself to put his team on his back, which star players do. And I agree with Bob's assessment earlier when these two games, game six and game seven, may have been the two best games that Connor McDavid has played. And he's had bigger nights goal-wise. He had bigger nights point-wise. But when you look at the importance of these games, the pressure on the team to find a way to get through this round, the stress having to win the back-to-back games, facing elimination twice, and the going head-to-head against a Dano and a Kopitar, guys that know how to shut teams down and players down, I think that these are probably the two best all-round games that Connor McDavid has played, and because of that, they get to play again next week.
Yeah, and sticking with it on his goal late in the third period, he was fouled on the play. Jersey was going to get a penalty. I know the Kings were probably arguing they had possession of the puck. It's funny, we saw that similar type of play, I think it was back when they played New Jersey. Was it New Year's Eve Day or New Year's Day? And they argued they touched the puck on a delayed penalty, and that got looked at. But, I mean, the bottom line is the whistle did not go on the play. And, you know, if the Kings, I think some of the Kings let up for a split second, and McDavid didn't, and he put it away.
Yeah, I don't think, though, that they did have possession. I know the puck went off.
No, he swiped that. I agree he didn't. I mean, they're going to argue that, obviously, in that situation.
I mean, for them, they were going to be facing the Oilers' power play if it wasn't a goal. But Jonathan Quick, he came flying across one way. He was out of his net. He had to come flying back the other way. The defender did slow down or quit on the play for a split second, but you're taught in initiation hockey that you go whistle to whistle. If there's no whistle, you keep on trying. So Connor McDavid understood. He didn't hear a whistle. He played it out. But it was a nice... Now, was it Yamamoto that flipped the puck up there? I can't remember which...
Yep, that was Yamamoto that made that. He got an assist on the
play.
That
was a wonderful play. I'm just understanding and reading what was happening. He saw that he couldn't make a direct pass to McDavid. He knew that the defenseman had turned his back because he had seen McDavid's speed. So Yamamoto just put the puck in an area and let Connor McDavid win a race, which he usually does. So that was a really, really smart play by Yamamoto. And that was such an important goal for the Oilers. Such an important goal because they were, at that point, it was still one shot, one bad bounce away, one power play going the other way. They needed to extend the lead, and Connor McDavid did.
McDavid, the first star. Quick, the second star. Smith, the third star. We'll make Yamamoto the fourth star as he's heavily involved in both goals. The fourth star for Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian, store Canadian. Head to sentinel.ca. Rob, Jonathan Quick was fantastic. Credit to him for how he played tonight. From an Oilers perspective, Mike Smith gets two shutouts in this series. He was injured most of the first half of the season. I don't blame a lot of the calls we had throughout the year. Is Mike Smith done? Can he do it? What's going to happen? Well, Mike Smith ain't done. I think he showed this, I mean, not just in the last month and a half of the season, but certainly over the last 2 weeks.
Well, and Bob and I just talked about it before I came on with you, that we had a lot of phone calls. And A, get rid of Smith, get rid of Koskinen, who's going to start. And at one point it was Koskinen. About a month before the playoffs started, if the playoffs started, it's going to be Koskinen. But we kept saying that the Oilers, if they want to go on a run, they need Smith. He's got a higher ceiling than Koskinen, and he's got the intangibles of being able to play the puck, of carrying swagger when he's on the ice, the emotion and the energy that the teams feed off of him when he's on, like he is tonight, where he's energizing the crowd, he's energizing his teammates. He's in the face of the opponents, and he was great. It was a shame at one point in the series when the Oilers were down 3-2 with the series that Smith was putting together, and it's like, how are the Oilers losing? And you got a goalie, he's got a .930 save percentage, but Mike Smith was excellent. Now, he's going to have to be moving forward, because if it's Markstrom or Ottinger for Dallas, both those goaltenders are the two best, I think, in the playoffs right now. So they're going to need great goaltending going forward. But I think there's a big sigh of relief in Edmonton with, A, the way the team played, but certainly, B, the way that Mike Smith has played through the 7 games against a very game LA King team.
So the Oilers take it 2-0, a Game 7 victory, the first Game 7 in Edmonton since 1990. The Oilers won that one over the Winnipeg Jets, and they win tonight. Two goals means another $200 donation to 630 Jet Centers Anonymous from James H. Brown and Associates. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. $100 every time the Oilers score, $2,700 in this series. We thank James H. Brown for that. And Rob, Cody Ceci gets what turns out to be the game winner, and we've been impressed with him throughout the season. He's stepped up pretty big in some games here in the postseason. Plays 20-29 tonight, three shots on goal, three blocks, a hit, and the big goal, and a nice shot from that angle to put it in.
Well, when he was signed, and there was a lot of people that were like, ooh, I'm not sure about him. That's a step down from the Adam Larson who had gone to Seattle. And, I mean, there was question marks. But I think he's exceeded everybody's wildest imaginations when he's come in here. He's very good defensively, sound defensively. But he also has that upside that I didn't know that he was as good offensively as he is. He makes smart plays, jumps up in the play. We've seen him score a couple goals, but the goal that he scored tonight, he put himself in a position to get the puck. He jumped past the defense, or the forward in the offensive zone, put himself in a position to get it, and that's a great shot. He had to find just a little bit of room between the defenseman and the goalpost because the quick couldn't see it, but he found that spot. Cody Ceci's been excellent, and he's been excellent all season long, and gives the Edmonton Oilers a solid first pairing right side defenseman where you feel safe every time he's on the ice.
And Leon Draisaitl plays 22-38, Rob. Quite frankly, I'm not sure how he did it. We're going to hear post-game from Draisaitl as we move along tonight. We'll never know the extent of the injury while the playoffs are going on, because nobody's going to talk about it or talk about it honestly if they do talk about it. He didn't skate in the morning. He clearly doesn't have that same sort of jump that he usually has. He can still handle the puck, and he was just below 50% in faceoffs tonight. I wonder how hurting he is. I know we're not there yet, but I seriously wonder if he plays game one, which is probably going to be Tuesday. Maybe we'll find out in the next couple of days. But whatever he has, he battled through it tonight.
I agree. I think he plays game one. I think he continues to play. If it isn't a high ankle sprain, who a lot of people are expecting, that doesn't get healed in a day or two. That's something that you're going to be dealing with probably the remainder of the playoffs. He doesn't have that step. Very rarely did you see him take off with the puck tonight. Most of the times he was skating, neither foot came off the ice. He just kind of cruised around. But what sets him apart over the course of his career is his hockey IQ. He's smarter than the players he's playing against. He puts himself in a position to make plays, to create things, to make his teammates better. And he's a big, strong man that can absorb punishment, gives himself a little bit extra time to make the play. And he doesn't need to be going Mach 1 to do that. Now, obviously, there's some things that he's limited at being able to do, and he's not as effective as he normally is. But he's still, as I said before the game, Leon Draisaitl at 50% is better than 80% of the players in the NHL. And he gutted it through tonight. I expect him to play game one of the next series, whoever that's against. But it will be something you're going to watch going forward, because this is still not the Leon Draisaitl. Last couple games haven't been the Leon Draisaitl we're used to. A good Leon Draisaitl, but still not the great Leon Draisaitl that we normally get.
So the Oilers take it 2-0. We'll check the scoreboard for Edmonton Trailer. Looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. The other two Game 7s today, Carolina beats Boston 3-2, and the Lightning win 2-1 in Toronto. Tomorrow, two more Game 7s, Penguins at Rangers, and then it'll be Dallas at Calgary. And, of course, the winner of that one will play the Oilers. So we don't know the schedule for the second round yet, likely to start on Tuesday. If the Flames win, they have home ice. If the Stars win, the Oilers have home ice. Avril Lavigne is here on
Thursday, Rob, so then the schedule would get complicated for the Skater boys. So we would just have to see what turns up.
That
there.
Was good, well, Reed. Those, that was very good.
Well,
I like that.
Those are the only two Avril songs I know, so I'm glad I was able to work them in. I'm really happy now. Okay. We know people are happy, and we're happy to hear from you tonight. 780-496-0063 is the hotline presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. 780-496-0063. Of course, you're going to hear from Jay Woodcroft, Smith, Draisaitl, McDavid, and CeCe as we move along. It's a Game 7 victory for your Edmonton Oilers. This is Heartland Ford, overtime open line.
Still no shots for the Kings, 10.5 in. Here's one coming. Moore, cross ice, Anderson. Back to Moore, one-timer, what a save! Mike Smith, his first stop, a superlative one.
That is Mike Smith's save of the game for Reface Magic. Save money on your kitchen renovation. Don't replace, reface. And it is Mike Smith with the shutout, 29 saves. The Oilers beat the Kings 2-0. That was the Kings' first shot on goal in the third period, Rob. And we've talked about this for years. As the Oilers have become a better team, could they win a 1-0 game? Could they take a 1-0 lead into the third period of a playoff game, of a Game 7, and preserve it? Well, they did that tonight. They eventually stretched it to 2-0. And oh, by the way, they didn't surrender a shot on goal until 10.5 minutes into the third. It was a good one. That was a great save by Smith, but it took 10.5 minutes for a desperate LA team to get a shot on goal.
That might have been the best defensive effort that we've seen the Oilers put together in a number of years. When you think about the importance of the game, the LA Kings falling behind, needing to pressure, needing to push, and they just weren't, the Oilers weren't giving up anything. They weren't giving up the blue line. They were never being hemmed in their own end zone. There was never a second or a third opportunity in front of Mike Smith. Mike Smith, I don't know how many times, had clear views of shots coming from the point. There weren't any tips. There weren't these big screens. It was a really, really good sound defensive effort. And that's what also makes it Mike Smith's game, where he wasn't tested often, but he would go long stretches. As you said, 17 shots in a row in the second period, halfway through the third before the first shot on net. That's tough for a goaltender, going that long a period without seeing the puck. And then all of a sudden, being in a stressful situation where you can't make a mistake, because a lot of the game was a one-goal game, for him to come up with a solid start and keeping himself completely focused and in the moment, knowing that they might not get a shot for 7-8 minutes, but the shot they get might be a good one. And oh yeah, don't let it in, because if you let it in, the game is tied. So Mike Smith wasn't tested nearly as much as Jonathan Quick, but he was excellent in this game tonight, and he just finished off a wonderful 7-game series, which gives himself, his teammates, and certainly the city of Edmonton confidence going forward in the next round.
We should also note, Rob, I think significant tonight, this was Dustin Brown's last game in the National Hockey League.
You know what? He got better as the series went on, Reed. I thought the last two games he was good. He was physical. He absolutely smoked Connor McDavid in the first period with a huge hit. I was an LA Kings fan. My son, that was his favorite team when he was younger, so I used to watch them and cheer for them when they were winning Stanley Cups. I had an incredible amount of respect for Dustin Brown and the way he played. It was honest. He hit hard. He was physical, but it was an honest game. It wasn't cheap. And normally when a hockey player, when we leave our last game, very rarely do we leave our last game with a victory. So for Dustin Brown, I'm sure it's sad in that dressing room, but he's got a pretty good resume. The back of his hockey card looks pretty good. He's been a really good pro for a long, long time.
Oilers win 2-0. Aaron wins a $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. He took the under. I set it at 3.5 for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement bet on it. Number of goals scored by the winning team in this game. So it is under at 2. So Aaron gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. 780-496-0063. We have Justin standing by. Justin, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? I'm just so pumped. We got the win. Excited. Just, like, not even, you know, like, it's been so long. We got an awesome team. It's looking good. But my kind of question would be the D-man, Duncan Keith. Like, he's the wise old guy we need now. He wasn't playing that well, but now in the room, in the games, I think that's going to be huge. What do you guys think?
Well, they traded for Duncan Keith because they wanted experience. They wanted a veteran savvy that they can lean on. This is the team that had bowed out in the playoffs back-to-back years before they were expected to. They wanted someone that's been there before. I played in Pittsburgh, and when I was still there, they traded for Brian Trotche. We had a great leader in Mario Lemieux, but we hadn't won. And they traded for Brian Trotche because he's a guy who's won before. He was at the end of his career, but he could bring leadership to a dressing room. He didn't become the leader, but he added a voice that had been there before, and it just certainly helped. And it helped push the Pittsburgh Penguins at that time to back-to-back Stanley Cups. So I think that's what they were doing with Keith coming in here. They need someone. He doesn't have to be the leader, but it's just a voice that can, when he talks in a dressing room, yeah, people listen, because he's won Stanley Cups. He's been the best player in the league. Everything that the Oilers are going to see through this playoff run, Duncan Keith has seen it before. So, his play on the ice isn't the same as what it was, but certainly the leadership in the dressing room and the leadership on the ice, something that the Oilers have desperately needed the last couple of years.
And that is our adjustment of the game for Pro Drain Techs for peace of mind down the line. Well, this is a nice treat. We got Chris from Phoenix checking in tonight. Chris, I'm sure you're thrilled, man. Go ahead.
Heck yeah, boys. Just a few comments here. Great to see Tampa Bay come back and beat the Leafs. I love it. Growing up in southwestern Ontario, I hated the Leafs, so it's good. As for the Oilers, can we put any kind of talk on anybody other than Connor McDavid being the MVP, the Ted Lindsay winner? The guy put this team on his shoulders from the middle of Game 5 all the way to Game 7. The way he has played this playoff has been amazing. He has taken the body. He is hitting people. He is fighting through hacks and whacks. And that hit that he took that should have been a penalty last game was just atrocious. And he is just fighting through it. He's not complaining. He's not pointing at the ref. He is just working his tail off. And it's great to see. Bring on the stars, baby.
Okay, oh man, he's already given that
serious. Early prediction right there, prediction.
I don't know if I'm touching that one, because that's going to be another good game tomorrow.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. I personally, Reed, I want the Flames to win. I want to see a Battle of Alberta. I really do. I grew up in Edmonton. I watched the Battle of Alberta in playoff hockey. That was the best hockey that we could imagine. And I think this city, this province, and the country now will be so enthralled if those two teams go at it. The Dallas Stars, though, on the other hand, are a good hockey club that I think the Edmonton Oilers would also have problems with. Dallas is good with a great goaltender, big, strong, physical team, a couple fantastic defensemen. Whoever the Edmonton Oilers play in the next round will be a very good hockey club that's also coming off a very hard-fought series.
Yeah, Oilers win it 2-0 tonight in Game 7 over the Los Angeles Kings. Whenever the Oilers get to 5 or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. That allows you to print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village featuring Alberta's own Brant Lake Wagyu. Visit jvedmonton.ca. To the Hall of Fame room, here's Jay Woodcroft.
The fact it sends you to either Calgary or Dallas in the big picture going forward.
Terry, I'll answer your question in 1 second. Before I get started, I just wanted to congratulate Dustin Brown on a heck of a career. He's a champion, played his last hockey game tonight, and you know, I was proud that I got to witness his last game. I'd also like to congratulate the Los Angeles Kings and their leadership under Luke Robitaille, Rob Blake, Todd McClellan, Trent Yanni, and their player leadership, including Kopitar, Anze Kopitar, Dustin Brown, Philip Deneau, and Jonathan Quick. I thought that was a heck of a series, just an absolute heck of a series, and it's a credit to both teams for playing as hard as they did. Now, getting back to your question, as we move forward here, I think for our team, that series pushed us in a certain way that made us grow. And we learned a lot about ourselves over these last 2 weeks, and the price that needs to be paid to have success at this time of year. I'm proud of our group and looking forward to moving on to round two, whoever that is against.
Can you detail the specifics, particularly in terms of limiting the A chances or whatever for Los Angeles, the way your team, despite the fact that the puck wasn't going in, was so disciplined in detail all the way through?
Yeah, I thought we tried to put an emphasis on playing the game tight, making sure that our numbers were tight. There wasn't big separation between our players. You know, ever since Dave Manson and I have come up from Bakersfield, our work back to our end has been a real focal point for our team, being organized in how we work back to our own end. And thought tonight, in one of the most pressure-filled situations of our year, and in fact, in the last two elimination games that we were facing, we had habits that held up under pressure. And that's a good sign for us as we move forward.
Jay, have you ever seen a more impressive set of back-to-back games by an individual player than the two that Connor McDavid put together in the last couple of games?
No.
Why?
Well, I mean, you guys were a witness to what I was witness to. I just had a nice level seat. For me, you know, I remember when he cracked 100 points, and then, you know, he set a career high in points this year, and so many great individual highlights. And the one thing I kept going back to is that he's driven to win. He's a fantastic teammate. He's a leader who leads by example, and I'm happy for him. Two really, really good hockey games on his part.
Leon and Mike both said that they could see it in his eyes tonight. Mm-hmm. Did you see it either before the game or on the bench early on that he was going to bring it?
Yeah, I did.
Jay, you had a lot of players. Obviously, your great players were your best players, but defensively the last few games, there's a few guys like Tyson Barrie isn't necessarily noted, but you guys were giving him a lot of defensive zone stars. Can you just talk about your defense core specifically and certain guys like that, like putting Kulak and Barrie out consistently in D-zone starts?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you come into a new program, which Dave and I did, we didn't come in with any preconceptions about anybody. I had experience with players that we've had in the American League or guys that I had been around up in Edmonton, but we wanted to coach with our eyes and give people opportunities, fair opportunities, and allow them to show us what they could do and couldn't do. And I think I've said it over the last 3 months, I think we got really good players. We're bullish on our players. We think we have the necessary ingredients in that dressing room that can play against any team, any individual, and as coaches, we try and trust our players.
You guys were leading, and you never really sat back. Was that because sometimes a team will sit back when they have a lead, and sometimes it's subconscious. It's not like you tell a team to do it. But what impressed you about the fact your team just kept going, and then, you know, Yamamoto hits a goal post, and Archibald gets stopped in a breakaway, and sometimes that might deflate your team, but it didn't.
No, I think that's the mindset we wanted to have. Yesterday, we had a really good meeting, set us up for today, and we talked about hunting the game. We wanted to hunt the game. We didn't want to sit back on our heels. We want to be on our toes and get after this game. And when we come up with a game plan, it's not for 10 minutes. It's not for 20 minutes. It's for the full 60 minutes. So that's a mindset that we try and coach.
This organization's always been pretty good playing 5-4 hockey. Connor McDavid said in here after game 5, 4 goals got to be enough to win a playoff game. I know you've been working on defense and the numbers have been great since you got here, but is there a bit of a metaphor to the fact you win this game 2-0 and it's a defensive, you pitch a no-hitter here?
Yeah, I thought there was numerous games down the stretch, big games, where we saw a lot of really good signs against good hockey teams, and that prepared us for these type of moments. You know, last game we won 4-2, but that was an excellent defensive game as well. And then tonight to finish it off with a 2-0 win, it's a credit to the self-sacrifice. It's a credit to their work for each other. It's a credit to Mike Smith for coming up big when we needed him. And, you know, I think our mindset now is to enjoy this tonight and kind of recalibrate. Tomorrow it'll be a day off for our players, and by the end of the evening we'll know who our next opponent is.
On Leon, look, everybody's playing. There's lots of guys that are nicked up, banged up, but is his, there's, you know, he's obviously gifted, he's improved his shot, he's as good on his back end as anybody in the league, but it's his competitiveness and his desire as a player. There's other guys that maybe wouldn't have been able to play in that situation.
Yeah, he's a warrior, just an absolute warrior. He's a big, strong guy who, like Connor, is driven to win. I think that type of mindset, when you see people play through stuff, is contagious. And they were a big reason, a huge reason why we're at where we're at, which is we're advancing to round number 2.
Jay, do you get a sense of how big this win is? You're the last time this team advanced to the second round. It's been 5 years. Do you get a sense of, you know, you got to get over this hump to get to the second round? Do you get a sense of how big this win was for the franchise?
Yeah, I think it's an important win. I don't think we're planning on stopping here. We're trying to get some rest and some regeneration and prepare for the next challenge. And for me, you know, we said this to our group yesterday, we didn't come this far just to come this far. We're here to progress and continue to move our needle forward.
Jay, what's it like to coach in this kind of an atmosphere?
It's a dream come true for me. The atmosphere, obviously, the city of Edmonton's behind us. The rink was electric today. But for me, I enjoy when teams come together and really, really lay it on the line for each other. That's where I get my juice. It's why I do what I do, and I'm thankful for the people I get to work with and for the hard effort of our players, because we know that anything worthwhile is achieved through hard effort, and I think we saw that tonight. Thanks, guys.
Jay Woodcroft, the victorious head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, 2-0 over the Los Angeles Kings tonight at Rogers Place. Cody Ceci from McDavid and Draisaitl at 13:15 of the second period. McDavid from Yamamoto and Kulak now with assist on that play at 16:07 of the third, as the Oilers outshoot the Kings 41-29 to win the series. Well, Rob, are you ready? Guess who's on the line?
Oh, no, is it really?
I bet you he's had a red wine or maybe a whiskey, or maybe he's mixed them together. I don't know what he's mixed it all with, but JP has called in on the Certainty Hotline. Hello, JP.
Well, hello, Lee. Hello, Rob. How are you guys?
Very good.
I'm telling you right now, no missing tonight. There's mixed sound because I can't be a sabber. I'm not John Wayne. I'm pouring 3-quarter rye tonight with a splash of pop, just for a little bit of color. I told you guys this in the past. But let's get down to brass tacks, shall we? I am so glad you guys allowed me to phone in after the Woodcroft interview. This guy is sounding like Mark Hamill. He is a Jedi. I'm telling you, this guy has the right word. He become just down to brass tacks. Like I always call, when I call you guys down to brass tacks, I never ramble, I never talk about video game, nothing like this, nothing or like playing, you know, operation like last time. I can't believe I brought this up, trying to pass. But tell you right now, you guys, this team is different. The adversary we face tonight, we won the game. This team was 4-7 against a good team. Oh, we're gonna go right to the King, 4 straight. Yes, get your head out of the gutter. This is a playoff. This is the playoff. It could go 7-6-5. The fact of the matter, they never got red arrow. Now, I don't care if it's Rick Bonus with the hot cans from Dallas. Barmy, I want the guns. I'm telling you right now. But you bring Sutter, you bring Rick Bonas, I don't care. We're rolling. Leon is a battler. I've hard on this guy. But you know what? Bring on anyone. And I want to see McKinnon in the semifinal. I want him to roll. Keep going. First day. Oh, look at us. And we will battle. I'm on a run, you guys. Thank you so much for the call time. Woo, about win.
Yeah. Right on. Well, JP's excited, Rob. I got to be honest with you. I couldn't pick up on all of that, but certainly we got down to brass tacks, as JP often does. But we love JP. I think he kind of said, bring it on, whoever. And he hopes it's McDavid and McKinnon in the next round. And that's, I know we get asked, who would you sooner play? Who are they going to play? You have to have a good enough team that you can play anybody in the playoffs or any style. And you have to rise to the occasion and solve problems along the way. I mean, after game five, it looked pretty bad. So one hurdle cleared. The Oilers figured it out. Now who knows what the problems are going to be in the next round, but you have to embrace it and rise to the occasion.
Well, and each round gets harder because the teams are better.
Yeah.
So the Edmonton Oilers beat an LA Kings team that nobody had going very far, that was handicapped offensively, that was missing its best defenseman, and gave the Oilers everything they could handle. Whoever they play, whether it's Dallas or Calgary, both those teams are going to be quite a bit better than the LA Kings, and the Oilers are going to have to find a way to get better themselves. But that's what's fun about this. This is the ride. I don't know if there's been a Stanley Cup champion that it didn't at some point didn't face some adversity. I remember years ago, I think it was Pittsburgh played against Nashville in the finals, and Don Cherry calling out the Penguins saying their game was an embarrassment, and they were in the Stanley Cup finals. And like, so teams have ups and downs over the course of the season. They also have ups and downs over course of a playoff season, because
yeah.
You got to remember, it's 2 months long, the playoff season. You're not going to have your best game every night, but you got to find ways to win. And all you have to do each day, you don't have to win seven straight. You just have to win four out of the seven, just one more than the other team, and that allows you to move on to the next round.
Oilers take it 2-0. They are moving on. We have time for your calls, of course, 780-496-0063. You'll hear from Cody Ceci and Connor McDavid. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Here's Nurse. McDavid fumbled it away. Mikey Anderson will lay it off the glass. A leaping Yamamoto knocked it down. Here's McDavid, left circle, dropping it off. What timer in that? Was driven wide by Draisaitl. Rebound Yamamoto. Tried to curl it in front. Did so. Draisaitl tried to make the extra pass. Went off a skate. CeCe to Connor McDavid. Peering inside. Dishing. CeCe shoots and scores. 1-0 Edmonton in game 7. This crowd explodes.
Game winner, series winner, Cody Ceci in the second period. The final, Edmonton 2, Los Angeles 0. The Oilers advance to the second round. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown joining you. Oilers hockey presented by Friesen Brothers. I'm in Studio 99. Rob's upstairs. Rob, this is a very joyous occasion here in Studio 99. It's starting to thin out, I think, just a little bit, but it was absolutely packed after the game. A lot of smiles, a lot of hugs. A lot of high fives. This is great. I mean, you and I, and you've been doing this after games even longer than I have. There are so many painful seasons and seasons of frustration, and where the playoffs were pretty much out of the question even by mid-November. So, this is great to see the fans care so much. There's still a long way to go to the ultimate prize, but I'm genuinely happy for the fans. They're so loyal. They're so passionate. There was a lot of frustration in those years, and maybe there still will be this spring. But they always believed and they always cared, and I'm just really happy to be in this environment tonight.
Well, when we retired back here after I was done playing hockey, the one thing that I found is that the mood of the city is always dependent on how the Oilers did the night before. If the Oilers win, well, the next day everyone's in a good mood at work, kids are having fun at school, you go outside, you can greet people, everyone's in a good mood. And if the Oilers lose, well, it was just a sour feeling around the entire city, more so when it gets to playoff time. I was around during the 2006 run, and they seemed to play every second night for the entire playoff series because they kept going almost to the limit in every series. And it was just, it was almost like it was Mardi Gras in Edmonton for 2 months. It was just every second night was a party. And that's what the Edmonton people are looking for right now. The weather's getting nice outside. Their team is playing well. There's hope because of the team they have. And you just don't want this thing to end. We've seen it end, the playoff run, too early the last number of years. It'll be nice to have them go on a little run right now, and that's why I hope they play the Calgary Flames, and I hope the series lives up to the billing, and it will be an exciting time to be in Edmonton, to be in Alberta for the next 2 weeks.
All right, let's go back to the CERTEEN hotline. We have Dean standing by. Hey, Dean, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, just before I go on, I just want to say, you can see what the guys see in Jay Woodcroft with he congratulates the Los Angeles Kings and the management and players and whatnot. But what I really phoned about was I'm trying to rack my brain on who else in the history of the NHL could have scored that second goal. Okay? Could have been Mike Badano, Mario, Mark Messier, Bobby Orr, LaFleur, you know, Wendell Clark, I don't know. But even Johnny Gaudreau, I don't know if he could do it. But that's all I really wanted to say. I don't know if, I don't mean to put you on a spot or anything.
That's a great way to put it. I think your question is the point in itself, that if there were other people who could score it, it would be a very short list.
It'd be a list of very, very famous superstar hockey players.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, Connor McDavid's in that league with all of those players. And that's what's so fun is when they show all these old videos or old highlights of these great players, and you sit back, oh, look at that goal that Bobby Orr scored. Oh, look at the play that Gretzky made. Or remember the Mario one where he goes through the two defensemen in Minnesota, or Guy Lafleur flying down the wing and scoring against the Bruins. You watch those highlights and just marvel at it. Well, we here in Edmonton get to marvel live every second night because we get to watch Connor McDavid create these highlights on a nightly basis. So, yeah, I mean, there are other players that could have scored the goal that Connor did tonight, but, yeah, it's a select few, and it's a few that most of us have their jerseys or their hockey cards in our houses because those are players that you never forget.
I'm just watching the Oilers have one of those videos that just loops over and over again. First of all, he's fouled from behind on the play. A lot of players probably would have fallen down or peeled off after they were hooked. Then he keeps the puck alive. Then he tries a wraparound. Then he has to step around an Los Angeles back checker. And then he has to get the puck back. And then he has to shoot before Quick is able to stand. I mean, I guess Quick was kind of down and out, but you still got to hit the top half of the net. Yeah, I mean, that is a great point by Dean. I mean, I think Mario could have scored in that situation. He probably just would have picked up the guy who was fouling him with one hand and shot it with the other hand.
But he might have, yes. He would have had the guy draped all over him. But, I mean, we do drills in hockey as young kids, and pros do too, where you have a puck and you just keep going until you score. And that's what Connor McDavid did right there. He just continued to go until he scored. So it was a great goal. The thing that made it so special was the time of the game and the importance of the goal. That's what set it apart from just your everyday Connor McDavid special moment. This one, the entire 18,000 or whatever there were in here, and all of the Edmonton Oilers fans either listening or watching on TV, their breath was held for the last 15 minutes before that goal was scored because it was still a one-goal game. So the importance of the goal just makes that much more special.
A couple guys just, so many, like, people are yelling at me across the bar asking where you are, and I got a point up top.
Up high, yeah. I'll be back. I'll make an appearance next game.
Now I'm wondering if they think that you're dead, like I'm pointing to heaven or something.
Close. I survived it. I survived the scare. I am still alive, just up here a little further away. But I will be back in Studio 99 whenever Edmonton Oilers play their next home game.
In probably either 3 days or 6 or 7 days, I would guess. Okay, Sir Robert is on the line as well. Oilers win 2-0.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Well, I gotta tell you, after that, I mean, 7 games,
I mean, so I mean, I may have. I mean, somebody. I got to be honest. My pick was, the Oilers in five, which was clearly, I was not giving LA much credit, if any, at all. But LA played a heck of a series, and you know, and Dustin Brown, props to him. I mean, on a heck of a career, tough way for him to go out. But I mean, on the game, I mean, McDavid doing what McDavid does. I don't know if there's anybody else. I mean, like, I don't know that there's anybody else in the league. Maybe a couple guys. Definitely not on the Oilers that could have done that. Well, I guess maybe Draisaitl, but Smith, I mean, what can you say? I know for a fact that points during the year, I was one of them calling in and criticizing him. Well, you know, Smith might be done, or, you know, Smith is too injury prone. So, you know what? And we're moving on. I'm hoping for Calgary, because obviously it would be the first time that I've seen that in my, I guess, shorter lifetime, if you want to call it that. Heading back from St. Albert here, looking forward to round two.
Right on. Well, if it is Calgary, I mean, if you're under, so it was 31 years ago. So if you're under 35, you either weren't born or probably don't really remember it or didn't really grasp what was happening. So, yeah, I mean, that's almost half the population, I guess, maybe. I mean, really, if you're under 40, maybe you didn't really grasp what was the true magnitude of that series in 1991. So it would be special. The bottom line for Royal Country is, though, your team is through, and you'll take whoever you play. Tell you what, we're going to take more of your calls, 780-496-0063. We still have post-game reaction from some of the players coming up. Oilers win 2-0 in Game 7. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers trying to nurse this one home. Draisaitl on another tie-up. The puck squirts free, and Yamamoto will carry it out. Tried to chip it for McDavid. He's got it to the net. A backhander slid wide. McDavid backhand wrap around. Score! Put it over the prostrate. Jonathan Quick on a delayed penalty call. 2-0. The captain delivers late in Game 7.
That's the world's best player right there, keeping the drive alive.
No doubt about it, Jack and Bob. An incredible play. McDavid's fourth of the series. The dagger late in the third period. Oilers knock off the Kings 2-0. Mike Smith with a 29-save shutout. Jonathan Quick, an outstanding performance for the LA Kings as he finishes with 39 saves in this one. Dustin Brown plays his last game in the NHL. 780-496-0063. We have Baz standing by. Hi, Baz. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling from Tokyo, Japan. A bunch of Canadians, we watched it today. It's actually Sunday here. And we had sushi, Japanese beer and sake, and some pizzas to go with it. So we really had a great time in Edmonton 1.
Awesome. How come you're in Japan?
Oh, I'm working in Tokyo.
Well, doing what?
Publishing.
Oh, cool.
And, a publishing company.
How long have you been an Oilers fan?
About 10 years. About 10 years. Doing with that, yeah. I just want to admit, we watched the game. It was absolutely raucous, but very nervous because Ebbett had so many chances but couldn't get that insurance goal.
Yeah, no, that always scares you when you have a chance to extend the lead or put some distance between you and the opposition and it doesn't go in. You're always fearful that one bad bounce is going to go against you. But the Oilers did a very good job of limiting any chance that LA had, and when they finally got that opportunity on the stick of Connor McDavid, he made absolutely sure that they extended the lead and gave them that cushion they needed.
All right, Oilers take it 2-0. Here are Leon Draisaitl and Mike Smith.
Could you both speak to what you think this moment means to this team? Short-term, big picture, all of that sort of stuff. How big of a moment is this in history?
Yeah, it's big, of course. It feels good. We're obviously not not done. This isn't the end. We haven't reached anything, but it feels good to do it with this group. You know, we've been through stuff all season for a lot of years, even, you know, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of negative stuff. So it feels great to have this feeling right now, and you know, obviously adversity in this series being down 3-2, you know, going into LA, grinding one out, coming home, and finding a way. So yeah, it feels good.
Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's an experience, right? It's an experience that that you can gain confidence from. And obviously being down and never panicking, going to LA and playing a really solid hockey game to get it back to home ice into game seven, and then playing our best game of the series in the biggest moment. You can't help but gain confidence from that. And obviously getting through the first round has been kind of a crook here for a little while. So I think it's a big boost for this group.
Leanne, can you just go through and tell us as much as you feel free to describe your whole injury situation, what you went through, all that?
I'm fine.
Thank you.
Mike, maybe you could, there's two guys. Connor McDavid really took this team in his back the last two games, and the guy next to you played 22 minutes tonight, and when the game started, it looked like he could barely skate. I guess I'd just ask you to comment on their last couple of games here.
I mean, our best players have been our best players this series, and if you want to win, if you want to get through one of the hardest rounds to get through, your best player's got to be at their top of their game or better, and both guys were horses for us, and they were leaders, and everyone else followed and did their jobs. And like we talked about it, it's not just on Connor and Leon, but they sure did a heck of a job to get us pushed in the right direction, and a lot of other guys just filled in the gaps and got the job done. But you know, a tremendous effort by both guys to kind of boost us in the right direction, and like I said, when the game was on the line, those guys were there playing their best hockey.
Leon, it seems like there's a hump in the first round that every team has to figure out how to get past. You know, we've just watched the Leafs tonight. They've got such a good team, and for some reason, they can't get over that hump. You guys have had a couple cracks here, and now you get past it. Is there something more than just winning a round here? Is there something that you've accomplished that you've been trying to get at for a while?
Well, I mean, you got to win the first round to advance, right? That's where it starts. 16 teams that are really, really good teams. So it's tough to get past that first round. We saw it in our series. LA is, it's a really good team, you know, but stuck with it, you know, grinded and eventually, you know, ended up being successful. So yeah, I mean, that first series is a tough one. Every series is obviously tough, but getting over that hump feels good right now. But like I said before, you know, we plan on, you know, continuing to play for a while.
Leon, can you, you've been with Connor every step of the way here. Can you just give me your impressions on what you saw from him these last two games specifically, just in his overall play?
Yeah, I mean, he's the best player in the world, and I think he showed that in the last two games, and I think it's not skill, there's lots of skill obviously with him, that's a given, but it's the will, right? You can see it in his eyes, you can feel it every shift that he's out there. He's determined, and there's just no way that he or us, we were going to be denied, right? So he led the way. He was amazing. So great job by him.
Connor McDavid, outstanding. Oilers win 2-0. Draisaitl asked about his injuries. He said two words, which is usually more than you get when a player or a coach is asked about an injury. So, I mean,
it's
this time of year, you either play or you don't, right? So if you think you can contribute, you play. If it's that bad that you don't think, if you think you'll be a detriment, then you don't play. Or your trainer thinks you'll be a detriment.
Yeah, that's more, it's more the trainer or the coach will make that decision, because no player is ever going to sit out. If he can get his skates on, he's going to go out and play. And at the beginning of the game, we were talking, Yeah, well, I mean, maybe Leon can do that, play a little power, play a little this. I'm like, if a player's playing, he's playing as much as he can. He's not going to limit himself. Once you're sitting on the bench, the energy, the juices get going, you feel better, and you're going to say yes to every time the coach says, hey, can you do this? Yes, I can. So I was kind of giggling, like, seriously, you just asked a question? What your injuries are? Yeah, no, that's – I don't think there's a player in the history of the National Hockey League that has answered that.
All right, 780-496-0063. Tony has called in tonight. Tony, go ahead.
How's it going, boys?
Good.
I'm beyond happy. Finally got over that hump of not being eliminated in the first round. Hyman, he's a steal for what we got for him. The way he played the puck and what he did tonight, three guys on him, unbelievable. The guy's a workhorse. And just a shout-out to, I don't know if you guys watched the post-game press conference when McDavid was on the ice. Not once did he ever say that it wasn't on the team. When they said, well, how does it feel to be the best, how does it feel to be the best player on the ice? He said, it's all on my team. I want to say, and I'm probably one of the only Oilers fans in Alberta right now that does not want a Battle of Alberta right now in the second round.
Why not?
Just want to say that.
Why not?
After what I saw last night with Nikita Zadorov, I'm not impressed. They play dirty. Lucic goes after everyone. And I'm sorry, but I'd rather face Dallas than I would rather face Calgary right now. They just look like they're ready to just hurt somebody.
All right, fair enough. Thanks, Tony. I'm glad he mentioned Hyman, Rob, because, again, strong down low, nearly stuffed one in. And there was a play in the third period. I think it was still 1-0, Rob. And it was kind of a bit of a scrambly play, and he got the puck down the left side, and I think it might have been Edler who was back. And it was just close enough where I thought, Hyman might have a half step. I wonder if he's going to try to drive wide on him. And he chipped the puck in the corner. And he went down, and he sat on the puck and held it against the boards and killed off a few seconds. And I just thought, there's a player recognizing, okay, buddy, you're going to play my game. I can hold it below the goal line. How are you going to take it away from me?
Well, there's another shift where he lost his stick, and he had the three LA Kings guys trying to get the puck away from him, and he had no stick, and he wasted a good 20, 25 seconds. The Edmonton Oilers, the last couple of years, were missing players that played like Zach Hyman, that played like Evander Kane. They now have those players, and they're a much better team because of it.
Oilers win it 2-0. We will get a call in here from Darcy at 780-496-0063. Hey, Darcy, welcome to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a few points I want to bring up. First off, the last caller, he's not the only one that wants to bring on Dallas. Hey, man, I would love to see a BOA, but I'm 42 years old. I watched Dallas walk over us over and over and over again. I hate Dallas. I do. I hate Dallas so much. So if Dallas beats Calgary tomorrow, bring on the Stars, retribution, 2022 playoffs, baby. Dallas, Colorado, Carolina. Bring them on.
Wouldn't that be something?
We want the cup. Second thing is Woodcroft. Hey, man, like, he's got to re-sign here. Like, I don't care what Kate has to pay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a pretty good chance Jay Woodcroft's going to be back, Rob. I don't know if that's really...
Yeah.
I don't even really know if that's debated at this point.
No, I don't... that's a non-story. It's just they're waiting for the season to end to announce that he'll be the head coach for a number of years.
All right, is this goalie guy Greg? Is this the Greg we have? Greg, are you there?
Yeah, hey boys, can you hear me?
Yeah, is this goalie guy Greg?
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. I got some more.
How do you
I
like that? You got a nickname now. Isn't that just what you always wanted?
No, yeah, well, my wife calls me something a little different, so whatever. So, I do have a couple things real quick here, and then I have a question for you at the end. So, in 2016-2017, McDavid played 13 games. He had 9 points. 2019-2020, 4 games, 9 points. 2020-2021, 4 games, 4 points. And this year he's got, seven games and 14 points. So he's trending up there, and it's getting good. But so great. Awesome. But I do agree with the other caller that, like, man, growing up when I was younger, it was always Dallas or Detroit or Colorado in the playoffs. But that being said, I'd still rather play Dallas in the playoffs than Calgary, because honestly, I want Calgary out. I'm glad Toronto lost tonight. I don't want to see a battle of Alberta, because, you know what, yeah, it'd be easier to swallow this year because Calgary would be the favorite going into into the series. But who cares? It doesn't matter. Get Calgary out, get Toronto out, and let the Oilers be the only Canadian team left in there. Good to go, right? So
I'm the opposite. I want as many Canadian teams as possible. Makes more exciting hockey, more exciting nights. I want the Edmonton Oilers to win it all, but I'd prefer to have every Canadian team in the playoffs going as long as they can.
I did enjoy who was the previous caller? Darcy, the retribution tour. You knock off Dallas, you knock off Colorado, and then you knock off Carolina, which of course means nothing to the current players on the team. But for the fans, that's the thing. A lot of these old rivalries and the lingering hatred is more the fans than the players. I mean, Connor McDavid, as we know, was born in 1997, so do the math for playing Dallas and Calgary in the playoffs, or remembering the Gretzky trade, or things like that. But I understand it might be a little bit like that for the fans who might have some lingering animosity.
No, I agree. I think, and both Calgary and Dallas, both very good hockey clubs. Calgary has probably a little more offensive flair and has a fantastic goaltender, but the Dallas Stars, they've got other problems that could bring to the Edmonton Oilers. They're a big physical defensive type team that can try to beat you 1-0 every night. So either team the Oilers play is going to be very good, and it'll probably be another long series, and hopefully the Oilers will find a way to prevail.
Okay, let's go back down to the Hall of Fame room. They both scored tonight, Connor McDavid and Cody Ceci.
What would you, how would you describe this, rate this in all the moments of your career so far? How would you define what you think it means going forward, and what does it say about this team?
Yeah, it's definitely up there. But that being said, it's just one round. There's a long way to go here. We're happy to move on to the second round, but that's all we did. Survived another day.
And could you just speak to the parts that were involved in making this happen, the way you played? That was as complete a game as you probably wanted
to play. Yeah, no, it feels good. It feels good to do it in that fashion. There's always a lot of talk about the defensive side of the game, and for our group to step up in a big moment and play like that in a 2-0 win, with Smitty playing great and getting contributions from everyone, it feels good.
Cody, can you, nothing personal, but you're probably the last guy we expected to walk in and snipe the winning goal past Jonathan Quick. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, getting a lot of opportunity lately, playing with these guys, I find myself getting more chances and more opportunities to chip in offensively. I don't know, I'm just trying to play with as much confidence as I can, help out as much as I can, and we're just trying to go on a run here.
Connor, you guys, probably the Leafs are the same. I get it, it's only one round, but it's been hard to win this round for you guys, and the team in Toronto didn't win tonight. I know you don't want to make too much of one round, but is there a hump you get over here that just feels good to get behind you?
Yeah, of course. It feels good to win a playoff round. You know, it's only my second that I'm a part of, so it doesn't happen as regularly as you think, but so it's definitely a special feeling.
Connor, with the way that game one ended, you know, with Mike Smith, he admitted he made that mistake. Fast forward to game seven and he pitches the shutout. Just what can you say about his steadiness and the way he reacted to that?
Well, I think it just goes to show that, you know, series are long, and there's ups and downs throughout the whole series. You know, obviously game one and you know, not the result we wanted, and Smitty owned up and, you know, took a lot of blame on himself, which I didn't think he necessarily deserved. He played well. Our group wasn't good enough in front of him, but, you know, then the disappointment of game five, you know, but to come back in game seven and get a win just goes to show how long a series is, and you got to stick with it.
You played a pile of minutes the last two games. You were over 27 here tonight. When you're logging that many minutes, do you have to make any adjustments in your game? How do you feel on a night like this where you're racking up the minutes the way you are?
You know, I really don't think about it. You know, I just go when Woody calls my name, and you know, I try not to think too much about it. I feel like I can play big minutes. I can play, you know, smaller minutes too. It doesn't really matter. I'm happy with whatever.
Connor, what sense of relief was it when you scored there, considering Quick was keeping it a 1-0 game?
I thought we had a lot of chances to make it 2-0, even late in the second and early in the third. And you don't like missing those chances, so they were kind of hanging around, and so it feels good to be able to go up too. It's a bigger cushion.
And can you speak to Leon's game tonight, considering he was hurt and yet he played 22 minutes?
I thought he was amazing. You know, he was just solid, just his usual self. I thought he was amazing.
Cody, you guys have been very good defensively as a team in the last, you know, 2.5 months. You had a little dip here in the middle part of this series. What changed in game 6 and 7? Because those last two performances might have been your most consistent from a defensive standpoint as a team.
I think it had a lot to do with work and dedication to what we've been doing down the stretch. Trying to stay up on them as much as possible, a hard track, get them to turn it over, and spend as little time as we could in our zone. I thought we really bought in the last couple of games, played desperate, and showed that we can be a tough team to beat.
The two goal scorers tonight, McDavid and CeCe. The Oilers have won game 7. 2-0 over the Los Angeles Kings. We'll get to a few more of your calls. Thanks for staying up. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
20 seconds to play. CeCe to McDavid. Nudge back in. The Oilers are moving on to round 2. Kopitar fires. Smith the save. He's going to shut Los Angeles out in game 7. Edmonton 2. LA nothing.
Jack Michaels with the call of the end of the game. An exuberant Rogers place tonight. The fans were rocking from start to finish, as I'm sure you were wherever you watched or listened to this one. The Oilers take it 2-0. I was just looking over the ice time for the defenseman, Rob. Keith, 19:45. CeCe, 20:29. Russell, 8:44. Barry, 15:10. Nurse, 20:34. Kulak, 13:37. And Bouchard, 19:41. So, I mean, I think that the three players who we expected would be a little lower were those players, though that everybody had to log some tough minutes along the way and in pretty even distribution with the top four.
Yeah, and I think you could say every one of them did their job to perfection. They, whatever was asked from them, they did it. The Oilers never seemed to get themselves into trouble. And the one thing that we didn't see over the last couple games was the big mistake. The Oilers took that right out of their game plan, and defensively were solid. So I think that bodes well going forward, whatever Jay Woodcroft decides, 12-6 or 11-7.
All right, we'll get in a few more guys on the Certainty Hotline. We have Brian standing by. Brian, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
First of all, I've got good news. I'm not going to complain about the officiating today. I've got to say, you know what? I've been lucky enough to be able to live to watch Orr, Hall, Howe, Gretzky, Lemieux, great goal scorers, Rob Brown, and now I get to watch McDavid. You know, it's just, it's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, he's really proving, at least to me, what a great leader he truly, truly is. Last thing I'd like to say is I'd just like to send a congratulations out to Brett Kulak. on his new arrival, his and his wife. And I'm sure Saturday was going to be one of the biggest days of his life.
Yeah, well said, for sure. And Kulak played pretty well again, I thought. I can tell you that single game tickets for round two go on sale at 1 p.m. So later today, 1 p.m. Sunday, EdmontonOilers.com. Tickets go on sale. You're encouraged to log on immediately at 1 because the supply will be limited. And then you can also sign up for last-minute ticket alerts on EdmontonOilers.com to get an email notification when any holds are released for sale. So 1 o'clock this afternoon, tickets for round 2 go on sale. David has given us a call as well. David, go ahead.
Just a couple things I wanted to ask you. Bryce, I noticed that he was really avoiding the boards, obviously, trying to not take a big hit. And on the power play, they had him up in the spool rather than in his one-timer spot. But do you think that's something they talk about? You know, hey, he's got an injury, this is his injury, and we want, you to do this. Pucks to the boards as well, or some other players were farther away, but they were going after the puck, and he was kind of like waiting. So that's something that the coaching staff would have talked about.
Well, yeah, the players are aware when someone's hurting, and with Leon, it's obviously something to do with his leg or his ankle, so he's not going to have that step. And they just kind of, as a team, as a line, they say, okay, here's what I can or cannot do. It's when a guy's a wrist injury. I'm not going to take faceoffs tonight. You got to jump in there. Guy's got a shoulder injury. Okay, physically, I'm not going to be able to throw the body like I used to, so I'm going to be a little bit more tentative. With Leon Draisaitl, for him, it just he didn't have the step. Everything else, I thought, was normal. He just didn't have that one step that would allow him to leave someone behind. So he just played smarter, just put himself in a position where he could do the things that he was capable of doing. So I'm sure that there was a thought that maybe they would limit minutes, but in a game that close and him being effective even at 50% or 60%, and they continued to play him and allow him to work himself into the game, and eventually he was on for and helped set up the game-winning goal.
All right, Jeff is on the line as well. Jeff, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just wanted to discuss the issue of who to play next, who would be the desirable team to play next. And I understand sentiments on both sides. Just a thought for you. As an American, I'm a dual national, but as an American, I would really love to see a Canadian team take it home, take the cup home. It's overdue. This is where hockey was born. Now, that being said, my major concern for the Oilers is can they defeat and come out the least beat up?
Well, I think they can beat both teams. I think both teams present different set of problems. I think Calgary's a better forechecking team that's got a higher offensive upside with the Goudreau line. Uh-huh. And they've got a better goaltender, although Ottinger's played very, very well with Dallas. Dallas is a much more physical team that's got some world-class defensemen, especially Heiskanen, and they're a team that'll play every game 2-1. So the Oilers are capable of beating both teams, but both teams, Dallas and Calgary, are capable of beating the Oilers. I think whoever they play is going to be a long series. I just personally want it to be the Calgary Flames. I think the excitement level will go through the roof.
It is an interesting debate. It's a fun debate now that the Oilers have moved on. I mean, I would say Calgary has the better goaltender, but Ottinger's on fire.
Yep,
now,
absolutely.
Now, if they advance, can he
continue
sustain that? Yep. I mean, greatness happens. I mean, not that it's easy to do it over a two-week stretch, but okay, 2 weeks is one thing. Then another series is another thing, and another series. I mean, the top guys for Dallas have been excellent. I mean, Robertson and Hintz, and I mean, Pavelski just, to me, Rob continues to be one of the smartest players and very skilled in the National Hockey League. So, I mean, I think, I don't know, Calgary's got a really physical defense. They can play a little bit nasty. You mentioned Heiskanen, he's, you know, up there with the best skating defenseman in the National Hockey League. Either matchup is tough.
I think
I don't know.
I think the Dallas Stars have defensemen that match up better. against the Oilers because you have a Heiskanen who can play and skate with Connor. You got a Klingberg who's a big, fast-skating defenseman as well. The Calgary Flames have, I mean, the Gaudreau line. I've watched the games, and Gaudreau doesn't have the points, but he is creating. And eventually you worry if Gaudreau continues to make those plays that someone's going to start capitalizing on their chances. Markstrom, to me, is the better goalie, although they've been pretty even in this series. But as you said, Markstrom's done it over a longer period. This kid in Dallas is just a flash in the pan. Can he do it two series, three series? No one knows. But you certainly know that Markstrom has got the pedigree to be a game stealer each and every time he steps in. Both teams have their pluses, both teams have their minuses, and I think that either team would suit a long, close series against the Edmonton Oilers.
Studio 99, Rob, there are four people left, three employees and me.
Does that mean it's time to say goodbye?
We will sneak in three more calls. I will ask people to be to the point, starting with Newman. Hello, Newman.
Hi. Good evening. I am a new immigrant. I never heard of hockey before in my life. And since I came to Canada about 6-7 years ago, I got hooked into hockey. And what a game that Connor, Dreisaitl, and Mike had today. It's really amazing to see these players play and the rest of the team as well. As one of your previous caller mentioned, that I also don't want to see Calgary in the next round. I would rather prefer to have Dallas.
Newman, where did you come to Canada from?
I came to Canada from Pakistan.
And what sports did you follow there, or probably still follow?
Well, I always followed cricket, as you know, there in subcontinent, that's the favorite sport.
Right on. Cool. Don't the games take like 3 weeks or something, though?
Well, not 3 weeks. It's either a 5-day or a 1-day or a 3-hour game. So they have three different formats.
Okay. I was joking, but I do know they have shorter games now. I actually find that a pretty fascinating sport. What do you like the most about hockey now that you've gotten into it?
Well, what I actually like is how fast this game is, and you know, how quickly it can change into, you know, from one side to the other side. And since I started following it from 2015 onwards, what I've noticed is that the Oilers have probably never had a chance to go beyond the first round because they only had Connor and Dreisaitl and nobody else to support. And what I have noticed is that the major change that has happened this year round is that we now have Evander Kane and Zach Hyman and a few other guys, you know, giving us that secondary support that we never had.
Yeah. Newman, thanks. We really appreciate you calling, man. Hope to hear from you again.
Absolutely. You guys have a nice evening and enjoy the win.
Right on. That is Newman checking it out. It was good to hear from him. Rob likes the speed of the game.
Well, he understands it very well, and he's very well spoken, and he could actually do one of our jobs. he knew all the players, secondary scoring.
If we hit 1 a.m., I might need a sub.
Well, he might actually next week. I'm on the ice at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. So
tomorrow's Sunday.
I know. Hockey school never ends, Creed.
Wow.
Hockey school never ends.
Well, I'm coming to St. Albert in the morning.
Yeah, well, you can just stop by the rink. I'll be there.
Oh, cool.
I'll be the guy sleeping on the bench. Oh, actually, I just gave a poor cleaning lady a heart attack. She just walked in not expecting to see anybody.
Yeah, that happened to me during the watch parties. People open the door, and they're like, is this guy lost?
Oh, she just jumped about 6 feet in the air, that poor lady.
All right. Two more calls. Donald, go ahead.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm glad that hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad that Mike Smith is finding his game, and he's been unbelievable right now in the series, and I'm sure glad we got a goalie that can carry the way, and McDavid and Drysdale, they have players that can help them out this year. I know we'll make it past the second round, and we got a team that's capable of making it far this year. So,
Yeah, well, here's hoping. The team's playing very, very well. And I look forward to seeing tomorrow night's Dallas-Calgary game to see which team the Toros get to play next week.
Well, great look at 2006 when they had ups and downs, and this year might be the same all the way to the end. So
it's possible. They're good, but there's going to be in about 24 hours' time, there's going to be eight teams left, and all eight teams will believe that they can win the Stanley Cup, and all eight teams probably have an opportunity.
Yeah. Love this time of year. The Oilers, you know, one big hurdle's down, but some more big ones coming up. Final call of the night will go to Mark. Mark, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, good morning. I just want to say I went to a couple games in 2017. I was in grade 6 and 06, so I couldn't really go to any games. But the atmosphere tonight was absolutely amazing, as you could probably tell from my voice. Every game so far this year, you have seen the buildup in the pregame, just the loudness and how ramped up the fans do get. The one thing I do want to say is has nothing to do with players on the ice. I don't understand why Joey Moss hasn't been more of a part of the pregame videos or anything, because, you know, we have had Ben in there, we have had the current Oilers, but I just wish that there was some way to incorporate Joey Moss more into what we are doing right now to really get the fans to another level, because this city really does love Joey, and I just wish we had a way to show him.
Yeah, and well, did you see, have a great night. He was in the video today.
Maybe this is the one night that I arrived a little bit late.
So yeah, it was pretty cool during the national anthem.
He was in the video today. Well, I think
I very much appreciate that, then.
Yeah, it was cool. I think there's maybe a fine line between honoring somebody and exploiting it a little bit, Rob. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think you got to do it tastefully, which it was today.
Yeah, it was. I can honestly say it brought a big smile to my face as I watched the end of the national anthem, and then he was up there singing on the big Jumbotron. I thought that was really, really cool. And I just smiled watching and say, hey, that, you know what?
Yeah.
I miss Joey.
Yeah, I think that was a nice way to pull it out and include an Oilers legend for sure. Well, the Oilers win it tonight 2-0 over the Los Angeles Kings. You can get more articles, more audio on the Oilers page on 630ched.com. Our next game broadcast is TBA, but we'll have it for you right here on 630 Ched against either the Dallas Stars or the Calgary Flames. Big thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here at Rogers Place and in Studio 99, and also to Angie Quinnell doing a great job as our studio producer back at the 630 Ched Broadcasting Compound. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Off to round two. Have a good night.